So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And good morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. Hope you're well today. So let me just find my notes because I put them down there just before. No, I can't actually find them. Let me just pull them up. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. My name's Dan Latto. Today we're going to talk about being a better tight ass. I mean, if there's someone to talk about being a tight ass, it's me. I am Northern, after all. And hey, don't judge. It's all right. We all come from somewhere. So let's talk about how to be a better tight ass. And the whole point of this isn't just about being a better tight ass. The whole point of this is to actually find a place to save some money somehow that you can then put to one side, and then you can invest in something. And that investment can be into a business, it can be stocks and shares, you could be saving for a new home, which is not an asset, by the way. An investment is something that gives you cash flow. Buying your own home is not an asset. I'll say that again. It might be cheaper than renting, so you're saving some money. That's all it is. You're saving some money. It's not an asset. An asset is if you bought that home, you moved into one room and you rent the other three rooms out, and it pays you cash flow. That's how I actually got started. And that was an asset from day one. My very first property was an asset. Anyway, we're going to talk about that, but we'll also talk about all this other stuff, pre-buying, clothing, food, and about the investment strategy as well. Let's just double check I've got everything here. Yes, I have. I've actually got Facebook open today, so I can spot if any comments come through. Andy Arter's on the line, in the house, I should say. Morning, Andy, watching on LinkedIn. Thank you for joining. Hope you're well today. And I've spoken to you for ages. Hope you're well, buddy. So let's be a better tight ass, shall we, Andy? let's talk about pre-buying first, because I think this is really important. And the last couple of days ago, I did a podcast show called How to Improve Your Socks Game. And it was talking about how, you know, the problem with socks is that you've got all these different pairs of socks and none of them match. And it takes bloody ages to match them all up, right? So I actually got all my socks and put them in the bin. And then I went to Primark, and went and bought some Wilson socks. I love Wilson socks. I've worn Wilson socks since I was 14. So I went and basically bought 15 pairs of exactly the same type, and I keep meaning to go buy an extra 10 pairs. They're like £4 for a pack of five. So you can't go wrong. It's so cheap, it's unbelievable. I don't know how long they'll last. They'll last a year at least, maybe 2 years, whatever. But that buying in bulk and pre-buying, because you know that you're going to actually need some of this stuff, right? So before you even get to pre-buying, you've got to have a budget in place. Like before I went live, I was looking at my budget to see some of the things that I actually pre-buy and some of the things that I spend on a regular basis. So for example, food, clothing, petrol, deodorant, toothpaste, pasta, which comes under food, I guess, insurance, all that stuff. Is stuff that you're going to pay for every single month. And so you should have a budget line item. Food, eating out, going to the gym. It should have a line item, every single one, for each and every month. And you should have between 30 and 50 line items. Because let's face it, what are you buying every month? You're only buying between 30 and 50 items. So you've got what? Milk, food, you know, chicken, vegetables, whatever they are. Bread, coffee, sugar, like, what else do you need? Pasta sauce, something to go in the pasta to make it less boring. You've only got between 30 and 50 items, so you should have an idea of how much each one of those actually costs. Like, do you even know how much money you're spending every single month on your food bill? Like, most people have got no idea. How much is a bag of pasta? 80 pence, okay. Like, I actually know that, by the way. It depends where you live, I suppose, and the type of pasta and how big the bag is. Can you get... And pasta doesn't really make much of a difference because it's so bloody cheap. Like, rice is so utterly cheap. But a good filler food, if you really are on a budget, you know, anyone can afford 80 pence for a bag of pasta over a month, over a long term. You've got income coming in from somewhere. Not anyone, but most people, I should say. Reframe that. But... you know, how big is the pasta? And can you bulk buy that pasta? But you've only really got between 30 and 50 items every single month. And so what you should have, you might have a main spreadsheet, and then you might have a supermarket spreadsheet, and you should put down every single price. Get your receipt, put down every single price. And then if you're going out somewhere or you're looking to bulk buy, you can actually see how much money you actually spend at the supermarket compared with how you're actually bulk buying. And I think that's really important to do, because most people actually don't know how much money they spend every single month. So if you're spending £200 a month on food and you can drop that down to 150, and you're like, Dan, I can't drop that down to 150. Of course you can. Of course you can, unless you're shopping at Lidl and you're living on pasta and tinned tomatoes every month. That's ridiculous. Of course you can drop that. And then that 50 quid can go into an ISA for the next 12 months. And that's where your investing journey starts. And if you're 25, up to the age of 50, you're going to be able to retire from that, for goodness sakes. All right, you might need to add a little bit more to it. But you've only got between 30 and 50 items. It should go on a spreadsheet. I want you to understand, actually, good morning, Thomas. Hope you're well this morning. Thanks for joining. I hope you understand that you've only got between these 30 and 50 items. And you know why people don't do this? There is this perceived notion that you're poor. If you budget things, like, think about this. Like, the reason you don't do it, and the reason why we don't talk about this, is because there's this notion that you are poor if you budget. 80 pence down for a bag of pasta, I don't have to put that into my budget. I can afford that. But you don't know how much money you're actually spending. You're missing the bigger picture. By missing the smaller bits in life, you're actually missing the bigger picture. Where else in life are you actually doing that? In various different places, I would imagine you're actually doing that. Oh, Dan, it's just small things. I've got bigger things to worry about. Yeah, and the reason why you've got bigger things to worry about is because you're ignoring the small things completely. I'm not saying that you do this every single morning for an hour, but once a month you should run through your thing. And also, I would do, like, what we're now, we're in March. I would have a column for March, and then I would see where you are in October and see how much the price rises have gone up. And speaking of October, let's talk about energy, shall we? Yesterday, I just fixed some energy, my energy bills on one of my HMOs went from £165 to £302, and on another property, it went from £193 to £363, I think it was. So pretty much doubled. I'm absolutely shocking. More than doubled did my direct debits. And I was on variable, so it's cheaper. You go to a fix, so it's more expensive than if I just went to the new variable. But basically, as you well know, it's only the 4th of March, but on the 1st of February, energy prices are going up by 54%. I think now's probably the time to fix or get on a cap of some kind. I'm not Martin Lewis. He's the expert on this. He's the one that you need to speak to about that. But, and I don't know if you know this, but there's a 25% increase in October coming through. That's on top of the 54% you've already got. So my electricity bills have gone from, like, what were they? £193. Actually, I think one of them was £225 a month. £225 a month is what, £2,500? It's gone from £2,500 to £3,500, and it'll go from £3,500 to almost £5,000 a year. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's basically doubled within 12 months. Now, if you've not got a line item for that, you need a line item for that. And you should be looking forward to the future to be able to see where you can cut costs. Like, do you bulk buy... let's say you eat tinned tuna. Let's just pick a random food item. If you eat tinned tuna, how long does tinned tuna last? If there is a nuclear war, in 20 years' time, you can be hunting the supermarkets, find some tinned tuna, and it will still be perfect, right? That's how long tinned tuna lasts. So you can bulk buy 48 cans of tinned tuna. If you eat one tin a week, there's 48 weeks worth of tinned tuna. Like, literally, that's what I'm talking about when we're talking about some of this stuff, because that is how important I think it is. And in fact, I'll be honest with you, when we saw the pandemic coming through, I could see what was happening in China. I saw men with machine guns in hazmat suits walking around, sealing people into their houses on Twitter in, like, January or February 2 years ago. I could see the pandemic coming. I said to the missus, something's going on here. Obviously, those videos since been deleted, but I remember vividly seeing them, because obviously seeing men in hazmat suits with machine guns walking around, locking people into their own houses, is quite an indelible image. And then we looked at Italy, and Italy was just exploding with the pandemic and coronavirus. And I was like, I think something's coming. And we started to bulk buy. We live here in Spain, so we bought loads of bottled water. And obviously, if something does happen with a nuclear war or a bigger crisis, not a bigger crisis for nuclear war, but a bigger crisis than what's going on in Ukraine right now, like, do you think it might be an idea to start bulk buying? We're bulk buying water. Today, I'm meeting the missus at 1:30, and we're going to Lidl. We're buying loads of water, loads of pasta, loads of tinned items, and we're putting it into stock. This stuff might never happen, but if it does happen,
I like to be prepared. And I'm not one of those, you know, gun-toting American with a bunker in the backyard, just in case. I'm not like that. I just, you know, want to protect the family, and buying stuff in advance, even if we don't use it or we don't need it, it's there for later use because it'll last for ages anyway. So it's not a bad thing for us to do. Anyway, so we want to be pre-buying stuff, and not just because of Ukraine and what's going on there, but just generally, because it's cheaper if you can pre-buy some of this stuff. So let's have a look here. Pre-buy. Don't wait until you run out, because then what happens is you go to the supermarket, you've got no toothpaste. You're then going to be buying the most expensive toothpaste. That doesn't make sense to me. I would much rather you go on Amazon and go and buy the cheapest toothpaste that you can. Like, not the worst toothpaste. Notice I didn't say the worst toothpaste. The cheapest toothpaste you can. So if you use Colgate, buy the lowest price Colgate. Like, if you go on Amazon and it's not cheaper, then don't buy it. Go to Lidl, where it probably is cheaper. In the UK, obviously, you have pound stores. And again, we've got this idea that, oh, no, Dan, I don't go shopping pound stores, Dan. That's what a cheap person does. That's what a person with no money does. I drive a Jaguar, don't you know? And so people don't do it. But if you can save 50 quid a month, you can move that money over to something. Like, put that 50 quid, if you've got a two-year-old, put that 50 quid into... Let me just get the dog here. The dog's... I can hear her clacking around. If you've got 50 quid a month being saved, put that into your two-year-old's pension. Put it into a junior ISA, into a junior SIP, whatever age they are. They'll be millionaires by the time they're 55. Like, you picking the cheapest toothpaste in Lidl can make your child a multimillionaire. Like, what? How crazy is that? But that's where we are right now. That's the potential of this. And that's why we go on about this. And imagine if you'd have done this when you aged 20. And I'm not saying that you drive around going from shop to shop to shop. I'm saying that once you've got your budget and you actually understand all the prices of all the items in all the supermarkets, when you happen to be going past a Lidl and you've got a section up for Lidl on your budget, you can pop in and buy all those things in bulk, so you never have to go back for another 4 to 6 months. But something like toothpaste is a really good one. But don't wait until you run out. It's like going supermarket shopping when you're hungry. You always overbuy. The best time, and I read this, I can't remember whose book it was, but the best time to go supermarket shopping is when you've had an enormous meal and you're absolutely full and you can't fit in anything else. Trust me on this. The amount of fancy stuff that you buy will be halved, because you'll be like, oh, I'm not hungry, I don't want that. You go to a big supermarket shop when you're full, you're going to buy everything that you see, all the French fancies. I could list all the things I miss here living in Spain. Turkish delight, angel cake, oh, Battenberg. we could go through that, but I'm not going to. But you could have this on a budget so that you actually know when you're driving, oh, there's little there, I need this, 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 and this. I'm going to stock up for the next 6 months. That's what you should be doing. I think the dogs are about to play, which is not good. next one is things like deodorant. Like, I spent 20 minutes online a couple of days ago, buying some deodorant. And here, deodorant's actually quite expensive. Deodorant's like, it's like €3 a bottle. And I'm too tight for that, right? So I'm looking on Amazon, Amazon Spain, which has limited access to some of the more popular stuff or cheaper stuff that you get in the UK. And I found it for £1.75, so I bought 8 bottles. And people are like, oh, that's so tight, Dan, you're so tight. Well, let's do the math, shall we? £3.25 minus £1.75 is €1.50, right? Times 8, that's 12 quid. Now, you know, that 8 bottles isn't going to last a full month. I don't go through that much deodorant. Some people might say I'm a stinky ass, but I don't go through that much deodorant. But 12 quid is 12 quid. I don't care who you are, where you come from. If I put that £12 into my 7-year-old's junior ISA or junior SIP pension, how much do you think that's going to be worth at age 65? It's going to be worth a decent amount. And that's what this is about, okay? The investment might come from you putting money into your own stuff, or it might come from you putting money into your kids' stuff. The other thing that you could be doing is waiting for regular sales, waiting for the sales for regular stuff. So, for example, like, I wear Hollister. I wear a lot of Superdry, and that kind of thing, right? So I don't pay 30 quid for a T-shirt. I wait till it's on sale. And if a T-shirt I really like isn't on sale, I don't buy it. Pretty much that's it. I'm such a tight ass with it. Because why? Like, this is one of the thought processes I actually had. I was like, you know when you go shopping, like, I'm a bloke, right? So this applies to blokes, not women. And so I don't know how women work, right? No man does, let's face it. So so I get into trouble for that. So I go shopping, right? And I go, I don't like that shirt. Oh, I like that one. What's the difference between this shirt that I don't like and this shirt that I do like? Do you think that I could go to Next, let's say, and buy any item, put them on and look okay? Of course. But just because I don't like it doesn't make me look worse or better. It's all the same stuff. So it actually makes no difference at all. Hannah? I can hear the dogs playing. So it actually makes no difference. So if I buy the T-shirt that I like at Hollister for 30 quid... and there's one on sale at 18 quid. Does it make me look better or worse? It makes me look the same. It makes absolutely no difference. And so if you wait for the sales for the stuff that you buy on a regular basis, you're going to actually save quite a bit of money. I never pay full price. I've never paid retail for property, for example, except once, which I regret still to this day. 18 years ago, and I'm still talking about it. So I don't pay retail for hardly anything if I can avoid it. I pay retail for petrol and supermarket stuff. But even then, I try and get the stuff that's on sale or that's lower priced and that kind of thing. So pre-buying means that you can buy in bulk beforehand, or knowing that there is a sale in everywhere, basically in January. Like, why am I buying stuff in December? I will wait till January and buy all my stuff. And then I might actually buy stuff. I've actually bought stuff that I've seen on sale in England. I get it sent to England, okay, for summer, and it's January, knowing that when I get to summer, it's sat there waiting for me so I can then pick it up. Literally, that's what I do. It's what I call a double whammy. You get the first whammy, a bit of excitement about buying something online, and then you forget about it, and then you go see your mum and dad, which is where it's been sent, and then, oh, we got all these T-shirts for you. And like, oh, I forgot about them. So you get a double whammy, which is really cool. Anyway, let's talk about clothing, shall we? I know we've been talking about clothing a little bit. I don't know if you can hear the dogs in the background, by the way, but all I can hear is one of the dogs. Hannah! These are the joys of going live and working from home. Okay, let's talk about clothing, shall we? I think this is important to understand. Most people are at home most of the time. I am, unless you go to work, in which case you've got a uniform of some kind. And I know you might not have a uniform like a McDonald's uniform, but you've got a shirt, a tie, a suit, if you're male. You're wearing a form of a uniform. I'm just looking for something to throw at the dogs. Hannah! All I can hear is them in the background. Shush, nobody wants to listen to that. Where am I? Clothing. Yeah, that's it. Most people don't actually get to see what you're wearing. Like, I'm here. Am I in shorts below the top? Am I in jeans? Am I still in my PJs? Who knows? Most people will never really get to see you. Unless you're going to work and then you've got a kind of uniform like a suit or, if you're female, work-based clothes, whatever that happens to be. I always think it's a bit unfair. There's a discrepancy between what men can wear in the office and what women can wear in the office. I think that's quite wrong. Can I wear shorts? No. But she's wearing a skirt. It's really warm. No, you can't wear shorts. I think stuff like that, it kind of bothers me still. I don't know why. But most of the time, most people won't see what you wear. So have two sets of clothes. Have a set of clothes that you're just for hanging around in. Like, I work from home, like, a lot. And the people that I meet are not business-related people. They're just people that I meet randomly. And it doesn't matter if I'm wearing a Primark T-shirt, if I'm wearing a Hollister T-shirt or a Hugo Boss T-shirt or a Diesel T-shirt. It just simply doesn't matter. In my mind, it doesn't matter. My wife probably get quite upset that I look quite scruffy all the time. But most of the time, people won't actually see you. So why are you wearing your Hugo Boss T-shirt hanging around the house? Now, unless it's out there for you to feel better, in which case you've got bigger issues going on in your life that you actually need to address. And there's no point in just ignoring that. You actually need to address some of that stuff that's going on there. Because if you feel like you need to wear nice clothes in order to feel good, and don't get me wrong, I do it too. We did a podcast about smelling nice. I like to smell nice. You know, I've got Sauvage sausage, as I call it. So And I anchored that in. So I use that and I anchor it in. So when something really good happens, I spray it. So then if I feel down, I spray it, I feel really good. So we anchor it in via smells and so on. And now if you're wearing a Hugo Boss top hanging around the house, that's anchored in. And I understand that. But also, you're wearing a £50, £75, £100 T-shirt for you to feel good. Like, I want you to feel good wearing a £2.50 Primark T-shirt. And if we can get you to that stage, then imagine how good you'll feel wearing a Hugo Boss T-shirt. But for now, let's just separate the two. Let's have clothes that you have to actually go out and meet people with and clothes that you don't. I mean, I actually don't mind. I'm happy wearing Primark anyway. It actually doesn't bother me. And this is one of the important things that for me that I'm kind of settling into. Society tells us that you have to buy nice stuff and you're supposed to look good and you're supposed to wear named brands. And if you buy stuff at cheaper stores or you budget for food, that you're a poor person and nobody wants to be poor. And society's kind of drilled that into us. And one of the biggest things that I've actually learned is that the more wealth we've got, the more properties we attain, the bigger our cash flow that comes from our wealth, as opposed to having to work, the less this stuff is important. One of the things I used to really love when I lived in England, I'd drive a £1,000 Nissan X-Trail and you pull up at a set of lights and there's a guy in a Ferrari and he'd look at you and he's revving his engine. And I'm quite happy in my little Nissan X-Trail, my little £1,000 jalopy, more than happy with that. And he looks over and you know he's going to blast you off the lights. And I'm like, dude, how many hours a week are you working for that? Like 60? 50? Do you get to see your kids go for sports day? How does that work? Do you get to pick up your kids? I get to pick up my kids, child that lives here in Spain. I get to pick her up 2-3 times a week. And if I need to just go out and do whatever, I just go out and do whatever. I much prefer that than having that nice car, for example. But most people, they see it as a sign of success. One of the biggest things that you can do, a biggest sign of success, is instead of buying a nice car, is either pay more money to your mum and dad. Awesome thing to do. That's one of the things that we do. So instead of a Lambo, pay that, go on more holidays. Know that you can leave work if that's what you want to do. You don't have to go on and stay at work and that kind of thing. That's a massive, massive thing for me. So what I put there was a few items that you've saved up for. So, like, I'm not saying don't wear a Hugo Boss top for your Sunday best. Do you remember when we used to call it that? If you've got a family event, you want to look good, wear your Hugo Boss top that's cost you £250 or £100. It doesn't cost that, does it? £100. That's fine. But all the other times, like, you should be saving up for that one item or two items or three items. And the thing that allows you to save up for those items is when you go back to that budget and you've got a clothing allowance. And let's say your clothing allowance is £50 and you might go, you know what, for 3 months, I'm not going to spend that. Or for 3 months, I'm going to spend £10 of that. I'm going to replace my socks. So the other you got £40, you got another £120, then you can go spend your Hugo Boss top. And trust me, when you do this, by the way, you get to a stage where you're about to spend £120 on one T-shirt that you've saved up for 3 months for. And you go, what the hell am I doing? How about this? I buy a T-shirt for £50 instead of £120 and I save the extra £70 and I put that into some stocks and shares or an ISA or some crypto or it goes towards a deposit on my house or whatever. That's a much, much better way of doing it. And this whole thing, okay, is about shifting how you think. The whole podcast is about shifting how you think, about how we go out and try and do this to impress other people. Nobody gives a shit. Absolutely nobody gives a shit. They're all so interested in them. And then the only final thing I'm going to talk about clothing, by the way, two actual things I want to talk about. One is haircut. I need a haircut, right? Desperate for it. My hairdresser lives upstairs and it's one of those little shavers. Look, I'm a bloke. We can just do it. And I just haven't done it. And I've done that for the last 20 years. That's not the reason why I've got millions of pounds of property, by the way. But it contributed to it. I don't believe that if you give up avocado on toast, you can then buy a house. I don't believe on that. But I do believe that if you cut back on that stuff, you can save more money that will help you get there as a combination of different things. But I used to hate going to the hairdressers, paying £40 for a haircut. But took an hour. I had 15 minutes there, 15 minutes back, 30 minutes talking bollocks sat in a chair. That hour I can use much better. Bzz, 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 get my hair done, thank you very much, and I'm off out and about. So that's number one. Hair is part of your clothing, by the way, because this is all about how you present yourself in society. And then the second bit, which is really controversial, and some people aren't going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyway, is the best clothing that you can wear is a healthy body. Oh, God. I know. It's shocking, isn't it? The best clothing that you can wear is a healthy body. So let me tell you what I mean. I've been into shops and I've tried on a Hugo Boss top or well, whatever top, right? A nice top. I try it on. I look in the mirror and I think, what a fat bastard, right? And I'm like, you know what? If I actually lost some weight, and I do need to lose some weight again because I've put pounds on again. I just can't be bothered. You know, anyway, it's a different podcast, but we know what that's like, right? I could go to Primark with a fit and healthy body, with weights and muscle and slim down, and I could look amazing. Or I can go with my fat, bulkous hulk of a body and wear a 1,000-pound Balenciaga T-shirt, if that's what it's called, and I would still look shit, right? So the best clothing that you can do, don't spend money on a £120 Hugo Boss top. Spend that £120 and get yourself a personal trainer. It's the best investment that you can actually make in clothing. And boy, you don't have to write in. I know it's controversial. We're not here to make friends. We're here to tell you what the results are and how to get them. That's the key. And we might say some controversial things from time to time, and that's all right. It's part of my belief system, and I think it's pretty much true. I think that if you can get a healthy body, and notice, by the way, I've not said what size that is. A healthy body comes in all shapes and sizes, and as long as you're comfortable, and as long as you are putting yourself in a place where you can live as long as possible through not getting unhealthy or ill, I think that's a good thing. But the way that you feel inside a T-shirt is better than the name of the brand on that T-shirt. Have you ever done this? And I've done this where, you know, we used to go out with the lads in our 20s. You're out on the pull and you feel amazing. And you can't even be bothered, but you feel amazing. And you just hit it off with so many people that night. And it's amazing. And then the next night you're dressed to your best, but you're not feeling it. And you can't speak to anyone, you know? And it's like, it's the way that you feel. But one of the best pieces of clothing that you can have is a healthy body. Oh, my God, it's so controversial. Okay, let's talk about food. One of my favourite subjects. I just said those immortal words. That's one of my favourite subjects. So, food. Let's talk about food. And we're back to budgeting here. Bulk and store. Buy food in bulk and store it. So, like we say, we're going out at lunchtime. We're actually going to buy bottled water, mostly because one of the conversations that I had, by the way, have I still got it open? No, I didn't save it. One of the conversations I had, by the way, was with one of my work colleagues who lives in Bulgaria, and he's actually quite worried about what's going on in Ukraine. Bulgaria is two countries away. You've got Ukraine, you've got Romania, and I think then you've got Bulgaria. That's it, right? So he's like, if you don't hear from me for a few days, I'll be in the woods. I'm like, dude, what? I'm like, are you even joking here? Is it a joke or is it tongue in cheek? And, you know, we moved the conversation on to it being quite funny. We talked about Brexit, about what losers the English are because of Brexit. Real men would have stayed in, as he put, and he's absolutely right. But anyway, one of the reasons why we're going and bulk buying now is just in case, like we did with the pandemic. But actually, we actually bulk buy anyway. We've got in the basement, we've got a cupboard full of stuff, full of toilet rolls. Those people who say you shouldn't be future buying toilet rolls are idiots. We bought toilet rolls in January when we saw it happening, by the way. And we bought an extra two big packs every time we went, and that was it. So we didn't buy 20 packs in one go and take them all. We just slightly increased our regular purchasing each week of buying that stuff. And that's what you should be doing with your food. Like, once you've found a place that's cheapest, then you should be bulk buying that in. Like, you know, there is an argument right now for inflation as well. I saw a terrible piece of advice, which is as soon as your money comes in, spend it to avoid inflation. Inflation's what, 6%? So you're saving half a percent a month. It doesn't even make sense. Half percent's not even going to touch the sides, is it? It makes no difference. But once you've got your budget with all the line items for everything that's going to go onto that spreadsheet, then you should actually be buying. And again, I use an example of pasta, and it's actually a bad example because pasta's so bloody cheap anyway. Tuna, let's use tin tuna. And you see the tin tuna, and it's £2 a tin, but actually you've seen it for £1 a tin. So go buy 8 tins. Go buy that. And next week, go buy another 8. And next week, go buy another 8. And if you love tin tuna and that's your thing, then go do that. Same with toothpaste and so on. Coffee. I spent some time yesterday looking for cheaper coffee. And I noticed in Carrefour it's £3.85, and where I go it's £3.54. Like, it doesn't sound like that's a big difference. £3.85 minus £3.54. Should we actually work out what the difference is? £3.85 minus... Why can't I do this? £3.85 minus £3.54. Try again. £3.85 minus £3.54. It's 31 pence. Divided by 3.54 is an 8% increase, or an 8% difference. Like, forget inflation. We talk about 8% just from one supermarket versus another supermarket. So what am I going to do? Am I going to buy, because I've forgotten to buy coffee and I just happen to be in Carrefour, am I going to buy that one? And if I've got no coffee, I might buy that one. But then I'm like, it hurts, right? So then, and it's only 34 cents. But over a period of time, over the next 12 months, that 34 cents actually adds up. I drink a lot of coffee. It adds up. So instead, I'm actually going to go to the normal place and I'm going to actually buy 6 cans ahead. And whenever I get less than 2 cans, I'm going to go buy another 6 cans. We do this with dog food, for goodness sakes. We buy 2 packs of dog food. We buy it online because we've sourced the cheapest place for dog food. When we get down to one, we buy another 2. And when we get down to one, we buy another 2. When we get down to one, we buy another 2. So we're then never running out, because it's this running out of stuff that then forces you to go and spend the most expensive, buy the food at the most expensive place. So buy it in bulk. Find out where you're going to buy it. Find out the things on that budget spreadsheet that you buy the most of. For us, it's definitely coffee, it's toothpaste, it's shampoo, it's deodorant, it's all this stuff that you buy on a regular basis. And obviously with food, it might be cans of beans, for example, cans of spaghetti, cans of soup. You should be storing this and have a larder so that if something happens, you've got a larder stocked full of stuff. And if nothing ever happens and you want to go on a tight budget for 2 months because you have a big boiler bill or whatever, you can actually survive by not even going to the supermarket for the next 3 months because you've got a ton of food already stacked up. That's how you should be doing it. And you've bought the food at the cheapest price available. Next one on that is just wait for offers, but obviously make sure they're actually real offers. Supermarkets put prices up, then they put them on the island with 20% off, buy one, get one free. And yet the month before it was half the price. Just be aware of that. The spreadsheet will help you with that. And then learn how to do fakeaways. You know, why are you spending money? I'll tell you, one of the things that we do here, we love kebabs, by the way. We don't get kebabs here in Spain like we do in the UK. And I know kebabs are so bad. I'm not even drunk and I want a kebab. imagine what it's like when I am drunk, desperate for a kebab. Anyway, so we actually make our kebabs at home for £6 here. So that's £12 for 2 kebabs. Then somebody has to deliver it. I have to go and get it if we're really hungry. So we bought kebab meat for like €3. It's in the freezer. We've got a couple of bags. We make our own. We've got a lettuce. We've got our wraps. We make our own. It's cost us €3.20, £1.75 each. Much better way of doing it. So learn how to do fakeaways. I bought some really nice rice. And tonight we're actually having McDonald's tonight. God, no wonder I've put weight on. And then tomorrow night we'll have a rice with a Chinese fakeaway. Why are we spending 12, 15, 20 euros on takeaway food when actually we can make something that's almost the same? It's not quite the same, is it? And so because it's also not quite the same, we will actually go out and spend money on a proper takeaway, for example. But we might cut down from 3 times a month down to 1 time a month or once every 2 months, whatever that happens to be. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, goodness me, Dan, you're so tight. Why the hell are you so tight? Because I want to invest. Like, I get so excited by investing. And it's not putting money into something. That's not what I get excited by. It's when the money comes back. That's what I get excited. So I don't believe that you should be having luxury cars until you've got an investment paying for your car. So my property investments pays for my car, my 4-bed villa here in Spain with a pool that's 100 metres from the beach. It pays for my fancy clothes from Primark. It pays for our food, my petrol, the dog food, the everything. It pays for everything. And so if we want to go on a luxury holiday and we've got a line item on our spreadsheet for X amount of pounds that goes and is allocated for us to go on holiday, then we can do that. It's all allocated. And I think that what happens is, if you're going away on holiday and it's a luxury holiday and it's costing you $3,000, how many hours have you had to work for that holiday? I find that really interesting. And if you're on £20 an hour, it's 150 hours. Is that 4 weeks? Like, you've worked a month for that holiday. For that 7 days holiday, I should add. Might be 14 days. But you still worked more than the amount of holiday that you get. And I don't want that. But investing starts today, and in 20 years, it pays off. It starts 10 years ago, and in another 10 years, it pays off. Generally, it takes 20 years, I would say. You might get lucky and that kind of thing. And obviously, it's not a switch. You're not in a state where you're getting zero income and then suddenly, bang, the next day, oh, now you get lots of income. It goes up and up and up and up and up. And so, you know, one of the first things to do, for example, is if you've got a mobile phone, it costs you 35 quid a month, have some investments that's going to pay that off. If you have Starbucks and a Starbucks habit and that's costing you 50 quid a month, how many shares of Starbucks, it's quite a lot because we only have a low 2% yield, but how many shares of Starbucks do you have to buy so that Starbucks are actually paying you to drink their coffee? You know, what's that going to look like? So I think you should be cutting back on luxuries of any kind until it's paid for by your investments. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have any luxuries, because obviously you've got to go on holiday. You've got to get time off. But holidays should have a monthly budget allocated. And then things like insurance should have a monthly budget allocated. One of the things I love doing in my property portfolio, so we have service charges on all the apartments that we own. And let's say it's £110 a month. What I will do is I like to pay £120 a month. So I'm overpaying the service charges by £10 every single month on all of them. Okay. What happens is by the time you get to the year end, there's two things that are going to happen. One, ground rents are due. That £120 might pay for the ground rent, certainly go towards it. But I've actually got an extra line item for ground rents. So we don't even include that. But then the second thing happens, which is an adjustment. An adjustment is where they've actually calculated the service charge and worked out that actually they've spent thousands of pounds more than they should have done, and they're going to charge you an extra £320 for it or 120 quid for it. One of the things I like doing is knowing we've actually got that cash stashed away because I've overpaid it for the next 12 months. Overpaying stuff is a highly underrated aspect of your life right now. Overpay for everything. If you spend £100 a week on food, allocate £110. Now you've got an extra 40 quid. At the end of the year, that's almost £500. That can go towards whatever that's going to go towards. Slightly overpay on a monthly basis for stuff where possible. If your energy company says your direct debit should be £310, pay £325. An extra 15 quid is an extra £180 a month. Just get ahead slightly. It's almost like a mini savings account, if you like. But you don't know, especially with gas prices going up and up and up. At least then when the next gas price hits, and I think you should fix, by the way, it's not financial advice, but I think you should be fixing right now. Because when the new gas price is coming in October, another 25%, I've just fixed for 12 months. So it's capped. So I won't get hit with that. So that's one of the reasons why I've done it. And boy, it's so complicated. Goodness knows if I've done it right. But the whole investment idea is that you should be putting money away from all these things that we've put into savings, all this tight Dan that you need to become a tight ass. All these things should then be going into, okay, I now put 50 quid away for my kid into an ISA or a junior SIP or whatever that's going to be. I put £100 a month away for me and the missus. Where's that going to go? And you're moving this over to investments. I saw something this morning. And it said something like, if you can't appreciate the value of investing, just take a look at all the 50-year-olds having to go to work this morning. And that hit me. And I'm like, shh, I turned 50, by the way. And I imagine, and I do miss going to work, by the way. I don't miss the commute. I miss the camaraderie. I miss meeting people. I miss the office. And we don't have an office here. Everyone's disparate. And, you know, part of me's like, should we get an office and so on? So I do miss that. But, like, if you don't see the value of investing, imagine having to go to work in your 50s, your 60s, your 70s. When you go to B&Q, hi, my name is Bill, and is some pensioner having to cover his own costs, his extra costs because fuel prices have gone up, it scares the living heck out of me. And I don't want you to do that. Now, if you love work, and I know plenty of people that actually love work, and we go, Dan, I'm going to work till I'm 65, 67. I love it. I think that's awesome. I think that's amazing. But if you're doing it because you've not got the investments that are paying your way, it bothers me, you know. And I personally don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be in that situation. And touch wood, hopefully, we've got some stuff going on with properties right now. I think interest rates are going to shoot up. We've got a massive repair to do on one of them. We've got a tenant not paying. We're moving a HMO off HMO and into a normal rent. So there's a gap in income there. And so we have all these things all happening all at the same time. Council trying to reclaim housing benefit back. We've got council tax bills that have piled up because the tenant moved out without letting us know. And now we're going to issue county court claim against the council, which could be quite interesting. And so we have all this stuff happening. But luckily, we've saved up because we overpaid. And so all those investments, if we need to release money from cryptocurrency or from stocks and shares, we can do it. That's why we do all this stuff. Because it's one thing to get there. It's another thing to keep there. And improve on that. And that's one of the reasons why we do it. Wow, we went for ages. We went for 40 minutes there. So look, I hope that's useful for you. My name's Dan Latter. We'll catch up with you on Monday because it's Friday today. But I hope you enjoyed that one. I certainly did. We'll speak to you guys on Monday. I actually know what I'm going to talk about on Monday. Let me see what it is. Monday's session. See if it updated. It's going to be on... Oh, we're going to talk about health. Because I think it's really important, something that we've not talked about for a bit. All right, hope that's useful for you. We'll catch up with you on the next one. We'll speak to you on Monday. Take care. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.